You felt love and openness for someone. For your child, grandchild, partner, friend, or in a special encounter with a stranger. Recall the situation and what you were feeling in the area of your heart. The next time you feel your heart is closed, which means your chest hurts, let yourself experience the pain in your chest. Breathe deeply, even if you feel constriction, and at the same time, remember that special time. Keep opening your heart and breathing deeply until you feel yourself begin to relax, even if only a little. Ask your intuition for guidance in opening your heart. Do this practice to challenge the fear-based part of your personality that is closing your heart to yourself and others. Here's a helpful thought. When an intention comes from your heart, it brings the energy of your heart into your action and creates experiences for you. When your intention is not from your heart, it brings fear into your action and creates your experiences. You must be aware of what you are feeling and thinking in order to recognize the differences. Your heart is open, accepting, creative, and grounded. It feels good and relaxes you. Fear is impatient, righteous, closed, and defensive. It hurts and cannot tolerate differences. Your heart includes. Fear excludes. Your heart keeps you in touch with the whole. The whole is life, with a capital L. Without your heart to illuminate your travels, they become frightening experiences. Chapter 5. It's as easy to call upon your intuition as it is to ask yourself a question. In particular, questions such as, "Why am I so upset about this situation? Why does this interaction affect me in this way? And what can I learn about myself from this experience?" always invoke guidance. And guidance always comes. How does this happen? Your intellect and five senses cannot explain intuition or show it to you, but you can experience intuition for yourself. It is your source of insights that help you stay in the Earth School, express your creativity, and inspire you. It allows you to benefit from compassion and wisdom that are greater than we can give to others and receive from others. Intuition is the fountain of personal truths and impersonal truths. It is natural for us to want to access intuition and enjoy it. Five-sensory humans do not think intuition is worthy of serious study. Sometimes multi-sensory humans think they are superior because they have intuitive abilities, and so they use intuition with a closed heart. However, multi-sensory humans who are creating authentic power depend upon it. For them, intuition is the primary decision-making faculty. What is intuition? Intuition is perception beyond the physical senses that is meant to assist you. It is what makes multisensory perception multisensory. Multisensory humans are in conscious communication with advanced intelligences. They have access to compassionate and impersonal help. Multisensory humans see insights, intuitions, hunches, and inspirations as promptings from and links to a perspective of greater comprehension and compassion than their own. They use this guidance to help them create authentic power. Your higher self is the aspect of your soul within you. Communicating with your soul through your higher self produces personal truth, truth that is mostly effective only for you. This is an in-house intuitive process. Communicating through your higher self with souls in advance of your own soul produces impersonal truth, truth that is true for anyone who comes into contact with it. This is receiving information through intuitive channels. Multisensory personalities rely upon truths they receive from their higher selves and, through their higher selves, from their own souls and souls that are more advanced than their own. Here's some questions to help you explore intuition. Go back into your memory or into your creativity to find answers to these questions. If you are in a group, share your answers with your spiritual partners and open to learning about yourself from what they share with you. Here's the first question. Have you ever had sudden or surprising insights? Have you acted on these insights? What significant things happened because you acted? Or if you didn't act, what do you feel prevented you? Here's another question. Have you ever been suddenly inspired by an idea, a project, or a possibility that was very meaningful to you, or became very meaningful? Have you ever found yourself feeling compassion for someone who wronged you or others, even though you still do not like or approve of what he or she did? Have you ever had the thought that you have assistance or help that you cannot see, but that you can feel is present with you? Do the ideas that you are not alone and that you can access loving guidance through your intuition appeal to you? Here's a daily practice for consulting intuition. Anytime you react to anything, for example, I feel overwhelmed, too busy, don't have enough time, and so on. I am sad, in other words, depressed, manic, impatient, and so on. I lost my job, or I hate my boss, and so on. He or she disappointed me, or betrayed me, cheated on me, and so on. I feel inferior, or invisible, unworthy. I'm upset because my car broke down. My flight got canceled. I feel entitled, or superior, better than. Ask yourself, what can I learn about myself from this reaction? How can I move beyond the control of this part of my personality that is reacting now? How can I change my perspective from frightened to loving? Listen for the answer. It will come. Here's another life lesson to help you bring intuition into your life. Each morning this week, set your intention to open to the support of intuition. Support that is always there for you. Ask yourself questions that you want support with. Then listen for answers. They may come immediately, or they may come later, but they will come. Some examples of questions you might ask are, How can I relate better with my son or daughter? How can I become aware of frightened parts of my personality sooner? How can I take responsibility sooner when I realize that I'm in a power struggle? How can I best complete the project that I'm confused about? How can I move beyond the control of the frightened part of my personality that feels financially inadequate? What is the best way that I can speak with my mother-in-law, or child, spouse, boss, boyfriend, or neighbor? What can I learn from my experiences of overwhelm, anger, jealousy, overeating, and so on? Write your questions down. Ponder them. Open yourself to answers. Notice the ways that intuitive understanding or insight come to you. And open yourself to other ways as well. Listen to what you are saying when you speak and to what others are saying. Remember your dreams and meditate on them. At the end of the week, write down your answers to these questions. Do you feel that this life lesson helped you to further develop your ability to use intuition? If so, share how. If not, ask your intuition how you can develop your ability to use intuition. Be patient. Your answer will come. What questions did you ask your intuition? What answers did you get? How did that support you? Write down the most significant thing you learned about yourself and your intuitive ability this week. Share this with someone who wants to open their own intuitive guidance. Here's another life lesson to help you experience intuition. Devote 2 days this week to following your intuition. If you cannot spend the whole day, find periods of time during a day or several days. Schedule it. Make appointments between you and your intuition. Write your experiences throughout the day, and at the end of the day, answer these questions in your journal. When did you follow your intuition? When did you resist? Be specific. Did your intuition surprise you? What did you discover about yourself by following your intuition? What were the most significant things you experienced experimenting with your intuition? And here's a reminder again. To see a multimedia extension of this Chapter 5 study guide with video, meditation, and support for study groups, go to seatofthesoul.com/SG5. Chapter 6. Most people think of themselves and others as made of stuff, such as muscles, neurons, organs, a brain, hands, and feet. This thought is a product of five sensory perception, which can detect only what we can see, hear, taste, touch, and smell. The perception of our species is now expanding from one range of frequencies in the spectrum of non-physical light, that's with a capital L, into another range of higher frequencies. This is the emergence of multisensory perception. As we become multisensory, we are discovering that we, and everything else, are made of light, capital L. Light, with a capital. Consciousness, with a capital C. Love, with a capital. Life, with a capital. And divine intelligence, with capitals, are all words for the same thing. And we are that. Most of you exists in non-physical reality, and therefore, most of your interactions occur in non-physical reality. Your influence extends far beyond the domain of the five senses, and it is instantaneous. Consequences of choices that you make and the emotions that you feel affect others wherever they are. Energies that emanate from your personality, its fears, follow the path of physical light, small l. They are not instantaneous. The unconditional love, with a capital L, of your soul is instantaneous, universal, not bound. As you align your personality with your soul, you bring the light, with a capital L, of your soul into the Earth School. What do we mean by light with a capital L? You are a system of light with a capital L. The frequency of your light with a capital L depends upon your consciousness. When you shift your consciousness, you shift the frequency of your light with a capital L. Emotions are currents of energy with different frequencies. Thoughts such as vengeance, violence, greed, and using others create low-frequency currents of energy, such as anger, hatred, jealousy, and fear. Loving, creative, and caring thoughts create high-frequency currents of energy, such as appreciation, forgiveness, and gratitude. Your choice of thoughts determines which emotional currents you will reinforce or release. Changing your thoughts changes the quality of your light with a capital L, the nature of your experiences, and your effects on others. We are evolving into a higher range of frequencies of light with a capital L, which means that we are becoming multisensory. We are becoming aware of the light with a capital L, of our souls, and able to communicate with forms of life with a capital L that were invisible to us, such as non-physical teachers with a capital T. Non-physical teachers assist your soul in every phase of its evolution, but they cannot make your decisions for you or change your karma. Here's some questions to help you understand light with a capital L. Ask yourself questions that increase your awareness of different experiences in your body and the consequences of acting on them. The energy of fear is painful in your body. This is the experience of lower frequency currents of energy. Acting on them creates destructive consequences. The energy of love, with a capital L, feels wonderful in your body. This is the experience of higher frequency currents of energy. Acting on them creates constructive consequences. Here's the first question. Does your body feel good or painful when you are angry, jealous, or vengeful? Here's the second question. What kinds of consequences have you created by acting on these emotions? Does your body feel good or painful when you are grateful, appreciative, or content? What kinds of consequences have you created by acting on these emotions? Which kinds of consequences do you prefer? This exercise is called Every Emotion is a Message. Recall a time when you felt a strong emotion, such as anger, jealousy, or resentment. Close your eyes, if it's safe for you to do that now, and go back to that time. Take a few minutes to feel what this emotion felt like then and still feels like now in your body. Where did you feel the physical sensation of it, and where do you feel that physical sensation now? For example, in your chest, stomach, pelvis, neck, throat? Recall the thoughts you were having when you experienced this emotion. For example, if you were angry, were you blaming yourself, or someone else, or a situation? How did you behave? Recall what you said when you experienced this emotion. For example, if you were resentful, did you say something hurtful? What would you have done differently? What can you learn about yourself from this experience now that you were not able to learn at the time? My friend Maya Angelou says, when you know better, you do better. Here's some helpful thoughts that you can think to yourself. My emotions come from my energy processing system, not my interactions with people or things. Each emotion is a message for me. It is a message from my soul. I ignore these messages when I act them out by blaming myself, others, or the universe. If I do not accept these messages, they come back until I do. Here's an exercise called Your Spiritual Tutor. Imagine that your emotions are being sent to you by your spiritual tutor. Those that come with painful physical sensations are showing you what lower frequency currents of light, with a capital L, feel like in your body, so that you can avoid creating destructive consequences for yourself by acting on them. Those that come with good-feeling physical sensations are showing you what higher frequency currents of light, with a capital L, feel like in your body, so that you can create constructive consequences for yourself by acting on them. Practice listening to your spiritual tutor throughout the day. Write what you discover. Share with others who want to practice with you. To see a multimedia extension of this Chapter 6 study guide with video, meditation, and support for study groups, go to seatofthesoul.com/SG6. Chapter 7. Have you ever considered that the creation of your experiences is governed by the law of cause and effect? The physical law of cause and effect governs physical causes and physical effects, such as launching a rocket and landing it on the moon. the universal law of cause and effect, governs the creation of physical and non-physical effects by non-physical causes. If you are not aware of the universal law of cause and effect and how it works, you will create as you continually do, but you will not create what you want. Your intentions are the non-physical causes that create your experiences. This is one of the most important things in your life to remember. You can experiment to see if it's true. Experimenting with your life frees you to create differently. It requires becoming aware moment to moment of your intentions, and then looking for connections between them and the experiences that you encounter. The more aware you become of your intentions, and the more aware you become of your experiences, the more connections you will see between them, and the more you will be able to consciously choose the experiences of your life that you want. This is the development of mastery. It is the creation of authentic power. Let's explore intention further. We'll call this Intention, Part 1. There is light, with a capital L. And there is the shaping of light, with a capital L, by consciousness. This is creation. You are a dynamic being of light, capital L, that informs the light, capital L, flowing through you with each intention. An intention is the reason for acting. It is the use of your will. Intentions set into motion processes that affect every aspect of your life. Physical reality and everything in it are systems of light, capital L. Within systems of light, capital L, and this light, capital L, is the same light, capital L, as the light, capital L, of your soul. Physical matter is the densest level of light, with a capital L. We are evolving into a species of individuals who are aware of themselves as beings of light, with a capital L, and shape their light, capital L, consciously, with wisdom and compassion. You create your reality with your intention. It is a multi-layered creation. Personal. Family. Work and school. People in your life. Your town or city. Your state or area. Your culture. Nation. Race, sex, and soul of humanity. No individuals have the same reality. As you move outward through the layers of your reality, they become increasingly impersonal. The shared physical reality of the Earth School is a fluid, massive consciousness in which each individual exists independently and also coexists interdependently with others. Here's some questions to explore intention. What is the difference between a desire and an intention? Are you generally aware of your intentions? If you knew that your intentions create your reality, would you pay more attention to them? Can you think of anyone except you who can know your intention at the moment that you speak or act? How does the idea that you and every physical form are the same light with a capital L as the light with a capital L of your soul make you feel? This exercise is called the fundamental practice, and you'll see why. Before you do anything that you are not sure of your motivation for doing, ask yourself, what is my intention for doing this? And wait for an answer. Do this for several days, and see how your experiences change. Write what you discover. Do this as a practice daily, if you find it is supporting you. This life lesson can help bring your awareness of intention into your everyday experience. For the next week or more, ask yourself, what is my intention every time you react? For example, if you are impatient, defensive, angry, or in a power struggle, stop and ask yourself in that moment, what is my intention? Not the intention you think you have set for yourself, but the real intention that lies behind your impatience, defensiveness, anger, or the power struggle. Feel the physical sensations in your body in the vicinities of your energy processing centers, and while you are feeling them, decide what you will say or do next. Ask yourself, what would be the healthiest choice for me right now? Carry a notebook in your purse or pocket and write your discoveries. If you are studying with a group, share with your spiritual partners what you are learning about intention or questions you have about it. After the first week, write your answers to these questions in your journal. What have you discovered so far? What were some of the healthy choices you made instead of acting from a frightened part of your personality? What did you discover about your intentions when you were in a reaction and you stopped to ask, "What is my intention?" Give some specific examples. What was your most common way to react? In other words, what frightened part of your personality became active most frequently? If you're studying with others, what did you learn from sharing with your spiritual partners? During the second week, consider the choices you have made so far, and see if you can distinguish between your surface intention or intentions, for example, a physical goal, and your deeper intention, why you are going to do what you are going to do. Don't forget to continue to ask yourself, what is my intention, each time you are about to react, and then ask yourself instead, what would be the healthiest choice for me right now? If you are in a group, continue to share what you are learning about intention or your questions about it. After the second week, write your answers to these questions in your journal. Were you able to distinguish between your surface intention or intentions and your deepest bedrock intentions? Give examples. What was the most significant thing you discovered this week about intentions and yourself? What did you learn about your intentions from your interactions with others? Here's a reminder. To see a multimedia extension of this Chapter 7 study guide with video, meditation, and support for study groups, go to seatofthesoul.com/SG7. Chapter 8. Your choice of intention creates your experiences. When you encounter the experiences that your choice has created, you must again choose an intention. This process continues until your soul leaves the earth school. While you choose the same intentions, you create the same consequences. This is called karma in the East and the Golden Rule in the West. When you choose different intentions, you create different karma. By choosing intentions that come from love, instead of intentions that come from fear, you create joyful karma instead of painful karma. Karma teaches you responsibility for the intentions that you choose, and you learn this lesson at your own pace. How long will you continue to create painful experiences for yourself? That depends on how long you continue to choose intentions of fear. The choice is yours, and the intention behind each of your choices creates more experiences for you. Each word that you speak carries intelligence, and therefore is an intention that shapes light, with a capital L. When you choose to align yourself with your soul, instead of with your personality, you create a reality that reflects your soul, rather than your personality. You create heaven on earth. When you choose to respond to life's difficulties with intentions of love instead of intentions of fear. So let's go further into intention again, and we'll call this Intention, Part 2. What is not learned in a lifetime is carried over into other lifetimes, along with new lessons that arise for the soul to learn. This is how the soul evolves. The karma of the soul determines the characteristics of the personality at birth, including its intentions. There are two fundamental intentions: love and fear. The intentions of the personality at birth shape the light, with a capital L, that is flowing through it into the reality that is optimal for the evolution of its soul. The reactions of the personality to the consequences of its intentions become additional karma for the soul. This continues until its intentions are changed. That requires consciousness. The introduction of consciousness into the cyclic process of creation allows you to change your intentions from fear to love, change your karma, and infuse physical matter with the consciousness of the sacred. Spiritual partnership is partnership between equals for the purpose of creating authentic power. Spiritual partners are aware of their souls, and they are committed to bringing the consciousness of their souls into their intention-setting processes and assisting one another in doing that. Here are some more questions to help you explore intentions and karma. As you hear these questions, ask yourself, are these questions new to me? What is new about them? What is most useful to me about them? Here's the first question. Have you ever considered the karma you create with your intentions to be your soul's karma? Have you ever thought about your experiences as the balancing of your soul's energy? If the experiences of your life really were karmic necessity, would you allow frightened parts of your personality to react to them and create destructive, painful karma? What kind of karma do you want to create for yourself? Blissful or painful? What would you need to change about yourself in order to do that? Here's a very helpful thought. It's called A Tree by Its Fruits. You can always identify a tree by its fruit. In the same way, you can always identify your intentions by your experiences. This exercise is called, Who Are You Attracting? Take a moment to think about the people in your life. In general, are they people who please others so they feel better about themselves? Gossip? Love life? Trust the universe? Don't understand why things happen to them? Want revenge? Are angry and don't shout? Give freely? Here is a life lesson about hidden agendas, which means intentions. What are hidden agendas? How do you recognize them? And what can they tell you about yourself? Discovering agendas that you're not aware of is the same as discovering frightened parts of your personality. You think that your intention is one thing, but a frightened part of your personality has another intention. That is your hidden agenda, and it will remain hidden from you as long as you are unaware of the frightened part of your personality that holds it. A hidden agenda may be trying to impress someone, dominate someone, feel better about yourself by teaching him, etc. For example, you might think that your intention is to help someone understand authentic power and not recognize that you feel superior while you are in a teaching role. This week, set your intention to uncover any hidden agendas you may have. When you discover during your interactions with others that you have a hidden agenda, celebrate your discovery, even though it means that you will experience painful physical sensations. They are not enjoyable, but identifying frightened parts of your personality and not being controlled by them is. For example, it can be exhilarating to fully feel a need to withdraw, defend yourself, or become angry and not be controlled by it at the same time. At the end of the week, write down your answers to these questions. How did looking for hidden agendas support you this week? What hidden agendas did you discover in yourself? What was the most difficult part of this life lesson? What were your most significant discoveries about yourself? And here's the reminder. To see a multimedia extension of this Chapter 8 study guide with video, meditation, and support for study groups, go to seatofthesoul.com/SG8. Chapter 9. Multisensory personalities and five sensory personalities that are becoming multisensory evolve through the conscious choices that they make. This is a very big change in human evolution. Unconscious evolution through experiences that are created unconsciously by unconscious intentions has been the way our species evolved until now. As you become conscious of the different parts of your personality, you become able to experience consciously the forces within you that compete for expression, that lay claim to the single intention that will be yours at each moment, that will shape your reality. Five-sensory humans do not see these choices as important. Multisensory humans recognize them as heroic. Depending on your choices, you step closer to your soul or closer to your personality. The energy of your personality is contracted, fearful, and predatory. The energy of your soul is open, joyful, and giving. Which do you choose? What more important choice can you make? Let's go deeper into choice. Choice is the engine of our evolution. Each choice is a choice of intention. An intention is a quality of consciousness that you bring to an action or thought. A responsible choice is a choice that takes into account the consequences of your choice. You must ask yourself, am I ready to accept all the consequences of this choice? Is this what I really want? You must become aware of the different parts of your personality in order to choose responsibly. Responsible choice is the accelerated way of evolution of the multisensory personality. When you enter your decision-making dynamic consciously, you enter consciously into your own evolution. Each time you create with the intentions of the soul, forgiveness, humbleness, clarity, and love, you empower yourself. This is how authentic power is built up, step by step, choice by choice. Temptation draws your awareness to negativity in you that would create painful karma if it were allowed to remain unconscious. It enables your soul to evolve directly through conscious choice without creating negative karma. You cleanse yourself of negativity without actually having to live through the experience. Here's some juicy questions about choice. These questions are not about what you know. They are about where you are in your awareness. If you are not aware of the dynamics within you that are creating your experiences, the experiences they create will always be 1. Surprising. Why me? And 2. Painful. Take a look at where you are in your awareness. Here's the first question. Have you ever asked yourself before acting or speaking, what will this most likely create? If so, have you ever followed up with the question, is this what I really want to create, not just what I want in the moment? If you knew that you could change the course of your life and the evolution of your soul by asking yourself these questions each time before you speak or act, would you ask them? Have you ever thought of temptation as a positive dynamic? What do you think about the idea that a temptation is a dress rehearsal for a negative karmic event? Here's an exercise that's all about choice, It's called Choosing Anew. Think of a situation that comes up in your life frequently where you consistently behave in the same way, such as argue with your spouse, have painful interactions with your parents or children, or are impatient with a coworker, or with things that need to be fixed, or with a driver on the freeway. Think of something that you would like to change. Close your eyes if you're in a place where it's safe to do that. Recall this situation. But this time, remember it as though you were watching yourself in it. Consider the possibility that you have been encountering situations of this kind in order to learn how to handle them differently, in a more conscious and constructive way. As you relive this situation in your imagination, remember it up to the time when you did the thing that you would rather not have done. And this time, choose a more healthy response, one that will create consequences that you would much rather experience. Realize that choosing a more healthy response will require courage on your part. Now choose that healthy response. Allow yourself to see the different consequences that it creates. Write what you discovered and share it with each other if you are doing this exercise with a partner or partners. Here's a life lesson that will draw your attention to your intention, which means to your choices. For the next week, focus on making your choices consciously. Set your intention each morning and any time you remember during the day to make responsible choices. Say to yourself, I am responsible for the choices I make and the consequences they create. Say this to yourself each time you are aware of making a choice. When you are unclear about what to choose, ask yourself, what would be the healthiest choice I could make? Creating authentic power means making the healthiest choice you can in each moment, the choice that may stretch you and will always empower you. For example, the choice not to eat something you know your body does not need, not to shout when you are angry, not to complain when you need to blame, not to gossip when you can hardly wait to talk about someone, to say no when someone asks you to do something that you know is not healthy for you to do, and so on. At the end of the week, write down your answers to these questions. How did reminding yourself, I am responsible for the choices I make and the consequences they create, affect your choices? What is the most significant discovery you made about yourself this week? Here is a helpful thought. Responsibility is a sacred word. It means the ability to respond from love rather than automatically reacting from fear. This is creating authentic power. To see a multimedia extension of this Chapter 9 study guide with video, meditation, and support for study groups, go to seatofthesoul.com/SG9. Chapter 10. Have you ever wondered why addictions are so difficult? Addictions are the strongest, frightened parts of your personality. The greater the desire of your soul to heal your addiction, the greater will be the cost of keeping it. This is the compassionate universe showing you that your inadequacy is so deep that only something of equal or greater value in opposition to it will stop you. Healing an addiction requires you to test your power of choice, to discover for yourself that the only intention that will empower you must come from a place within you that suggests that you are indeed able to make responsible choices and draw power from them. Each time you choose to challenge your addiction, you disengage from its power and more increase your personal power. You bring to light, heal, and release the deepest currents of negativity within you. As you face your deepest struggles, you reach for your highest goals. When you struggle with an addiction, you deal directly with the healing of your soul. This is the work that you were born to do. How do you deal with an addiction? You cannot begin to heal an addiction until you acknowledge that you are addicted. Acknowledging an addiction is acknowledging that a part of you is out of control. Once an addiction has been acknowledged, it cannot be ignored, and it cannot be healed without changing your life completely. Addictions cannot be satiated. A sexual addiction cannot be satiated by sex. A food addiction by food. An alcohol addiction by alcohol. Addictions are frightened parts of your personality that are controlled completely by external circumstances. They are your greatest inadequacies. Sexual addictions are the most universal because issues of power are tied directly to the learning of sexuality. You cannot be in your power and sexually out of control simultaneously. When you challenge an addiction, you stand between your lesser self and your full self, between unconscious permission to act unconsciously and a conscious life. Each time you challenge an addiction, you create authentic power and contribute directly to the evolution of your soul. Here are some questions about addictions. Everyone has addictions. If you feel that you are an exception, experiment with approaching these questions with an open mind and an open heart. 1. Do you know any parts of your personality that are out of your control? For example, eating, drinking, smoking, gambling, sex, watching pornography. 2. Has giving this part of your personality what it demands ever increased your control over it? 3. Do you recognize any parts of your personality that might be out of control? For example, are you certain that you can stop drinking a glass of wine with dinner, pass by a 75% off sale, leave pastries out of your diet? 4. How does the idea that a part of your personality might be out of your control make you feel? What do you feel are your greatest inadequacies, or would be if you were aware of them?